85 degrees. Beautiful day out there. Wasn't supposed to be, but here we are. But Bob Larson saying a little bit later on tonight, yeah, I'll be looking for some of those showers and thunderstorms.
Yeah, he said around about 9 p.m.
Yeah, 9, a little after, a little before if you're west of here, west of Kalamazoo. If you're east of here, it'll be a little after. But regardless, that is what is apparently going to be happening. So be on the lookout for that. Just some programming notes to tell you about. Coming up in the next couple of days, this is interesting, actually. The Tigers have a game tomorrow afternoon.
That is really actually, weird for Wednesday.
Tomorrow morning is when the broadcast gets underway. 11:40 is the broadcast time for the Tigers game tomorrow. So it'll be interesting. So probably we'll have a show, at least in some form or another. But I don't know how long it'll be. So
it just depends on how long they play.
Who knows? But so that's coming up tomorrow. Thursday, in probably one of the strangest things I've seen, it's like back-to-back afternoon games. Because they've got one there. They're in Cleveland tomorrow for the end of a series. They're in tonight, actually, as well. But, you know, we're looking a little ahead, too. So the Indians with the Tigers tonight, 6:40 broadcast time, 11:40 a.m. tomorrow. And then on Thursday, they come home. So you figure it's a night game. Nope. It's an afternoon game. 12:40 is the broadcast time as the Tigers do battle with the Rangers. Looks like it's a four-game series that takes us through the weekend. So that's what the Tigers are doing. And that's going to mean Thursday, very likely, a very short show.
We'll see
if it all. So,
yeah, we'll see if it's longer than 5 minutes like that one day.
Yeah, that would be interesting. So we look forward to that. And then Friday, I will be out, but a guest host will be with you, so you can look forward to that. So if you absolutely hate me, that might be the day to listen. I don't know. But it's the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad that you're on board with us today. It's 590 WKZO. And we were talking about the Veterans Administration a little while ago and talking about some of the things that were happening. And I really am not going to dig into it much further at this point, but we did have a text that came in just after we had talked about that. And they said, why would anyone be held responsible? It's government. It's always corrupt. Which is kind of disappointing if you think about that, that we're expecting government to just be corrupt naturally. Oh, it's government. It's always going to be corrupt. I think, you know, maybe I'm just absolutely ever the optimist. You know, calling, okay, glass is half full, whatever you want to say about me. But, you know, maybe I'm an idealist. But I believe that government should work for the people and not the other way around.
Exactly.
You know, I believe that if the government is doing something, to be able to say, well, it's corrupt, it's just the way it is, that's just kind of giving up. I think we need to be able to take them to task. And I would say this regardless of who's in office, regardless of what the problem is. Because guess what? This VA problem, it's a bipartisan problem. It started under Bush, and it got worse under Obama. So guess what? They're both responsible for
yes.
this one, you know? And ultimately, I want it fixed. I want it fixed, just like you'd want it fixed. And I think that's what we need to be able to call on government to do is like, you know what? If the house ain't clean, then you need to do something about it. You know, so I guess maybe I'm a bit of an idealist. Call it refreshing, call it ridiculous, call it whatever you want. But I guess, you know, when you elect somebody, you want results.
I'm with you. The government should work for the people, not for the corporations, which is what we seem to have going on today.
Well, and I think the other thing is true, and I don't know, I think Mark Twain said it, somebody said it, whoever said it, they were brilliant when they said it. Because the bottom line is this. They said, politicians, like diapers, need to be changed often and many times for the same reason. See, even Michael figured
that one out. That is brilliant, yes.
I don't know what to figure out who said that. I think it was a Mark Twain comment, but regardless, it's a brilliant comment, whatever. But now this is interesting. Taking a turn to, since it's an election year, Michigan State did an interesting study, and they've come out with the results of the study that says overweight political candidates tend to receive fewer votes than their thinner opponents. This is interesting. Mark Rowling is professor of human resources at MSU, said we found weight had significant effect on voting behavior. The greater size disparity between candidates, the greater the vote share of the more slender candidate. Get that. According to this, people are actually voting based on the size of people. Study was published online in a research journal, Equality, Diversity, and Inclusion. Rowling and his wife, a Hope College professor, Patricia Rowling, used data from 126 primary and general elections in the 2008 and 2012 U.S. Senate campaigns. Basically looking to see who's... Now, I kind of wonder who they looked at as overweight, obese, that sort of thing, if they're looking at some of the BMI numbers and things like that. You know, because I remember when they looked at BMI numbers, I mean, you know, let's consider that some of this stuff, BMI numbers, according, if you look at those numbers as to who is overweight and that kind of thing, they said that former President George W. Bush was overweight. He was kind of a skinny guy in my recollection, but that's kind of where they come up with this stuff. But the interesting thing about it is, according to this study, both obese men and women were less likely to even make it onto the ballot. And it said gender also played a role in the study, as overweight women were more underrepresented on ballots than men. Now, you could say that, but there are some studies out there that also say women in general are underrepresented on ballots. And I think you could maybe make an argument for that quite possibly. Now, of course, and in an article, and this is an article that appears in MLive talking about this, they say, well, you know what? Former Governor John Engler had a history of weight issues. He was not a skinny guy, and he still ended up serving three terms. Elected three times, the first time just barely, the second and third time with a pretty, pardon the pun, wide margin. Now, I'm not saying anything about John Engler. You know, I think it's clear that if you carry around a little extra weight, guess what? You're still good at your job sometimes. You know, John Engler was a fairly good governor. I mean, there's some people that would make an argument against. But by and large, people believe along those lines. He was reelected by pretty nice majorities. Chris Christie in New Jersey. Here's a man who is definitely overweight, if not obese, and he probably would admit to it himself.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he's done a pretty good job in New Jersey, enough that Republicans are thinking about, well, maybe he could run for president here in a couple of years. But you wonder if that sort of consideration, given that, you know, they're saying, well, you know what, rotund or obese candidates probably wouldn't necessarily get as many votes. You wonder if Republicans are going to look at that and say, well, wait a minute, we got to have somebody who's maybe a bit more of an attractive candidate.
Well, if somebody knows how to use their brain and is smart at using it, I'm going to vote for him. I'm not going to look and say, oh, gosh, that guy's overweight. He's going to get stuck in a bathtub. I'm not going to vote for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, but think about this, though. I mean, how many elections have been beauty contest, quote unquote? Now, okay, granted, you know, George W. Bush was probably not the most attractive guy in the world, but he got elected. Mainly because Al Gore and John Kerry were just, you know, real stunners, let me tell you. But you know, it's sad when you think about it. I think about some of our greatest presidents. Abraham Lincoln was probably among some of our more ugly presidents in terms of looks, but he got elected and he's considered one of the greats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and can you look at George Washington and go, wow, what a handsome, handsome man.
Yeah,
you know,
he had wooden teeth.
You know, I mean, that's that, you know, clearly something has changed over the course of time. And we've talked about that, you know, what was it back, the Kennedy-Nixon debates, where Kennedy looked calm, relaxed, and Nixon looked flustered and didn't look well on camera. And, well, guess what? Kennedy won.
Yeah, they said if during the debates, Nixon won if you listened to the radio, but if you were watching on television, it was Kennedy who won because of Nixon's 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah. And, you know, Kennedy looked so much better.
Yes.
So, and think about this in how many different elections. You say, well, you know, they're an attractive candidate. You know, and that's what people are looking at right now. Now, you hope it's not a beauty contest.
Well, go back to 2008 during that election. How many people voted for John McCain because Sarah Palin was the vice president candidate?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and for some, the choice was like, Sarah Palin, wow, she's pretty conservative. Okay. And then there's some people are going, yeah, she's hot.
Yes, people you know? Were saying that.
And admittedly, she was attractive, certainly. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But, yeah, I mean, it's got to come down to ideas, you would think. Mm-hmm. But then elections come down to strange stuff, you know. I mean, Bill Clinton got elected because he knew how to play the saxophone on Arsenio Hall's show, you know. Oh, he played the saxophone. He's so cool.
He's talented.
You know, and then Barack Obama, well, hope and change and fluff and I'm going to take care of you. You know, and yeah, it all sounds nice, but, you know, and did people look at him and say attractive guy? Well, I don't know. I'm no judge of that. I don't know. I suppose you could. I don't have any idea. But I mean, you look at some of these this way and you think, well, are we going to have to start looking for people with good ideas that apparently are good looking as well? Which I've had people say to me before, run for something. No. Have you seen my picture? Go to the website and look at my picture. No. Now, I find it intriguing, but I find it a little disturbing at the same time. You know, so if you look at some of the elections we've got coming up, you know, do you even dare project on that a little bit and go, all right, well, we got a Senate race coming up, Terry Lynn Land, Gary Peters. Who's the more attractive candidate? You know, are one of these people overweight? Well, no. But, you know, if it comes down to that, gosh, I'm not sure. I don't even know if I want to touch that one, you know. But you know, and has it gotten to the point of where people are looking at so many other things in a race for office instead of who could handle the job effectively? You know, are they going to look at so many other things and go, well, you know, and you can even look at it, you know, to a certain degree in the presidential race. Now, I don't think everybody voted this way, but there were people that voted because we're making history. Well, that's fine if you want to vote for that way, but you know what? If we get to a point where people are voting because somebody's cool, because they can play the saxophone, or because they look good, or guess what, they're more fit and healthy than the other person, are we getting to a point where we're kind of missing the boat on what we need to do in elections? What do you think about it? 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Or 80373 if you would like to chat about this on text. Now, someone texted just a few minutes ago, and they said two words, television happened. That's some of it, yeah. It's some of it, yeah, TV. You could actually see some of these people. Yeah, tell me Abraham Lincoln would get elected today. No, the tall hat, no, it's got to go. And Abe, what is that thing on your face? Mm-mm. No, got to take care of that.
Giant mole.
Yeah. You know, but moles work for certain. I mean, Cindy Crawford for years looked terrific with a mm-hmm. mole on her face. But yeah, Abraham Lincoln, yeah, not so much. So yeah, you may be right about it. Television happened to a certain degree. Okay. Who knows? Let's go to the phones here. And by the way, you could call in 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 and talk with us just like Jeff's about to do in Richland. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Well, my take on this whole thing is that it's become a popularity contest, and it's almost like being back in high school. You know, you want to side with the good-looking guy and the good-looking girl for prom king and queen, and mm-hmm. You know, is that when somebody comes to this country, you know, and immigrates here, then they have to take a civics class and pass this test or whatever else. But just because somebody is born here, you know, they don't need to educate themselves to the way the country runs or anything else. They're automatically given a free pass. And I think there's something really missing there that, you know, it's kind of sad that, you know, we force somebody that wants to come to this country to live the American dream, and somebody that's given it by right of birth, if you want to call it that,
sure,
has this vote automatically. And it's just, you know, I just don't, you know, you ought to pass some kind of test to be able to vote, you know, that you know how the system works and whatever else.
Well, that's a tough one, but I think, you know, that a lot of this gets back to maybe there's more of a root to the problem, and that is, what are we teaching our kids in schools about American government and about, you know, how things get done? I mean, are we doing that effectively? I don't know the answer.
I don't think so either. I think you've got a very uneducated voter base out there that's swung by these attack ads and whatever else, and people don't take the time to know their candidates and what they represent and to, you know, to really get to know them. And then you pile on media and, you know, all these political action committees and whether you're attack ads and everything else, and you never get to really know the candidate, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't figure out what they're really about. It's all a bunch of sound bites and garbage, and, you know, you're kind of left as a voter out there twisting in the wind if you don't want to do a whole lot of research.
You know, and I find the thing that's most interesting about this when, because I reflect back on, I don't know if you saw that documentary that they did on Mitt Romney that appeared on Netflix.
No, I did not see that.
It's fascinating. It's well worth a view. I watched that, and I learned about Mitt Romney in a way that none of us ever really knew. You know, that, wow, here's a guy that just seems like an average guy. I mean, they would have video of him. They're in a hotel suite, and he's running around. He's the candidate running for president, and he's running around picking up trash and making sure things are neat, and, you know, he's taking care of a little of this and that. I mean, it was a guy we did not see during the campaign.
And unfortunately, that's something that, you know, the political ads don't allow us to see, you know, or they, it's, you know, and I wasn't a Romney supporter, but, you know, if more of this type of thing were shown, you know, I'd almost like to see, you know, I know PBS leans towards the left probably, but maybe they don't, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you almost need to have an introduce the candidate type forum, you know, where we get to see the person and talk to the person and, you know, get to know who they are rather than, you know, okay, this, you know, their opponent's attacking them and we're attacking them and we're attacking, and, you know, it's just the whole thing is denigrated into just a big cesspool.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the sad part about it is we've got something similar to that. They're called debates, but then that turns into a media circus as well. So.
I agree with you there.
All right, Jeff, I got to run. I'm on top of a break. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Jeremy.
We'll continue to talk about these beauty pageants, better known as elections. An interesting study if you're just joining us. We'll talk a little bit more about it as we continue on the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. WKZO, it's the Jeremy Lawrence Show, 84 degrees in Kalamazoo, and this portion of the program brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 until 2. Been talking about, apparently in this study from Michigan State, overweight candidates for office tend to get less votes than those who are more fit. That was a Michigan State study that was put together. Mark Rowling, professor of human resources, put this together along with his wife. An interesting study. And I think it proves the thing that we even are loath to even talk about is that some of these campaigns, it turns into a beauty contest or a popularity contest. It's sad, but ends up being true.
Mm-hmm, very sad.
So we'll keep talking here with you. You keep letting us know what you're thinking. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 803-73. You can text us as the Jeremy Lawrence program continues. It's 439, 84 degrees in Kalamazoo. The Jeremy Lawrence Show continuing ahead on 590 WKZO. Headed to the phones right now. Noah has been standing by on the phones for a little bit. Hi, Noah. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Just fine.
It absolutely is a popularity contest. And I think it has been. I don't think this is a recent development. I think that study is something that we probably already knew for a very long time. There have been other studies. It's not just in politics. Mm-hmm. You go out for a job, if you have the same skills or slightly less skills than your competition, and you're much better looking, studies have shown that you're more likely to get the job, you're more likely to get the promotion. I think that I don't know if it's a human condition or a part of the American culture. It'd be fun to see a study across, like, other countries to mm-hmm. see if the same sort of thing occurs there. But absolutely, George W. Bush was a guy you wanted to have a beer with.
Sure.
You know, Barack Obama was the eloquent speaker, as you mentioned, the hope and change guy. Very little. I don't think people really care that much when it comes down to it about what a lot of our politicians stand for. It's more of their likability factor, and part of that is how they look.
Well, and let's not forget that, you know, Bill Clinton was in there, and for some people, he absolutely did not do a lot. But he was just kind of like, oh, shucks, that reminds me of my neighbor.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. And it's sad. And it shouldn't matter, like, what side of the political spectrum you're on. It's just kind of a sad set of affairs that that's how we choose our leaders. But it might help to explain the fact that we reelect all these people. Well, actually, I take that back. I think a lot of that has to do with our districting. But, yes, I think once you get through the primaries, especially for the House, it doesn't really matter. You could be a not-very-good-looking Democrat or a not-very-good-looking or charismatic Republican, and depending on what district you're in, as long as you get through the primaries, you're guaranteed in. But, yes, especially for the presidency, absolutely. I heard, like, I definitely had, and this is very anecdotal, and I hate anecdotal evidence, but I had plenty of female friends that voted, wanted to vote for Hillary, and when she dropped out, immediately switched over to vote for the McCain-Palin ticket because they wanted to see a woman in office, which I totally get. It's high time that we've had a woman in the White House, but that is, like, I don't get it, because there are two polar opposites. I don't know how you go from one to the other just based on that, but I think that's just kind of the society we live in.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your call today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. You know, we were talking about that a little bit ago, with the idea of, you know, the political campaigns and things like that. You know, you see people coming along and deciding, well, you know what, I'm going to vote for them because I like them, or, you know, Sarah Palin, she's hot, so yeah, we'll vote for McCain, you know. And it is sad, but I think it is kind of that thing. But I think the other thing Noah got to, and it's something that I've always kind of felt, particularly lately, if you look at voting for president, you know, and let's go all the way back to, you know, okay, people voted for Bill Clinton because he came off as being likable and that kind of thing, and they just, all right, well, we want him. 4 years later, he still didn't garner a majority of Americans, but he got just the right amount to be able to be reelected. I forget what it was, like 49% or something like that he got and still managed to win. But I think some of it has to think about. We had Bill Clinton for 8 years. Then we elected George W. Bush, 8 years. Then we elected Barack Obama, 8 years. There's something about when we get to that re-election campaign that it's sort of like, I don't know if they did a great job or not, but I don't know if I'm going to go vote for somebody else. You know, sort of that old syndrome of better the devil you know than the devil you don't. And I wonder in the 2012 election, with Obama, you know, with everything that's happened with him, with all the scandals and all the things that went on, And then you have Romney coming along, and they're going, well, okay, let's see. We got this guy, and we know what he's done. And he's not been great. He's not been horrible. He's just, eh. And then we got this guy over here who kind of reminds me of a big piece of Teflon. Well, okay, better the devil you know than the one you don't, because who knows what this guy's about. You know, and you could see that logic playing out with voters to be able to say, well, particularly on re-elections, well, okay, we know this person. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, familiar with that name. Okay. And you got to wonder if some of that isn't the issue with some of these. Now, you get to an election where you've got two very well-known names, then you might end up with a fight on your hands. I don't know. You know, it could be end up being something like what we saw with Gore versus Bush, because that was two names that people knew. Oh, well, Gore, yeah, okay, I know him. But Bush, yeah, we know him pretty well, too. Oh, I don't know. I'm conflicted here. I kind of wonder if that's not some of the thoughts there as well. Your thoughts and opinions on that, always welcome, of course, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or you could text us, 80373, and be a part of the program that way, and we will share some of your comments as we go throughout the program. Now, another thing that has occurred to me is some of the ads that you see out there in political campaigns, and we're starting to see this. I think we're going to see a whole lot of it before we get to the end of this Senate campaign, because there's a lot of ads that are going to be played. Both sides are going to do it, basically saying that, you know what, this person is responsible for this, that, and the other. I mean, there's an ad that's out there running that says Terry Lynn Land has evicted families, and now that that trailer park where she grew up, it's just a vacant piece of property. They haven't done anything with it. They evicted people for nothing. And then on the other side, you've got Terry Lynn Land claiming that Obamacare, while it causes full-time jobs to become part-time jobs and fewer jobs, red tape, and that kind of thing. Well, these ads are out there. And to help you even further, there are people that are looking at these saying, well, what are the truth of these ads? And basically, they've looked at both of these ads and said, well, the one about her evicting families is broadly true. Basically saying, well, you know, if you look at it a certain way, then, yeah, it's true. Based on the fact that the land was bought by a trust that was led by her husband, who put the notice out to people living there that, hey, in a year we're going to be doing something with the land. You've got a year to be able to find something else. If you move in 6 months, we'll help you with moving expenses. That's the ultimate truth of what happened. But they're saying, well, broadly true. And the ad apparently glazes over some of that, as you would expect. Now, the other side, the same people are saying, well, this Obamacare ad that Terry Lynn Land put out, well, it's vague, but there's nothing wrong with it that we can see. It's vague. They're saying, well, there's things where it could get into it a little bit further, but there's parts of this that, well, yeah, it could be considered true. No foul is what they're saying. And I find it interesting, in the midst of all of the ads that go on for a campaign, you have things like this, and obviously this negative stuff works. If it didn't work, it wouldn't be used in every election that we have had since, what, 1796 or whatever, you know? I mean, there have been negative ads out there for a long, long, long time. So apparently they work. But it's sad that we get to a point where politicians, in order to lead us, end up putting these things out there and going, well, you know, if you take their viewpoint on this and put it over here and this and then this fact over here and that and over here, and then you put it all together into this ad that, well, it's true, kind of. And, you know, you're at a point, we're trying to decide who's going to be our leader in a various situation. In this case, in the Senate race. You know, and we're trying to decide who's going to be our leader. Well, one side is trashing the other side is trashing the one side. And you kind of, if it keeps happening, you're going to get to the point where voters are going to go, enough, I don't want to vote for either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder, if we would get to a point where it would be totally refreshing if a candidate came out and just said, you know what, we're going to talk about the issues, we're going to talk about the facts, we're going to talk about where I stand on this, 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 and this, and set it up and just see what voters would do. Maybe I'm a purist. Maybe I'm a complete and total purist, and I am absolutely pie in the sky thinking here, and you're going, well, that's ridiculous, and it'll never work. Yeah, probably it would never work. But wouldn't it be interesting if we found out? Wouldn't it be actually interesting if we had an election where two sides decided, you know what? We're going to have a battle over this. We're going to have a battle over that. We're going to talk about the issues. And we're going to take our stands on it. And I'm going to say, look, I believe this. You believe that. We're going to leave it up to the voters to decide what they want. And yeah, that kind of goes to that whole Hollywood view of it to a certain degree of, I mean, let's remember West Wing was on and they had this, you know, they'd worked out the rules for this debate and they got to the end of it. And well, you know what? Forget the rules. Let's just have a good old fashioned rumble. Well, it's nice. But I don't see too many candidates doing that. And, you know, there'd be people, oh, well, you know, Obama would have done. No, he wouldn't have. No. And nobody on the Republican side would do it either. But it would be fun to see if that sort of thing happened. I mean, you got, you know, these ads come out. You want to see the truth. You really want to see the truth play out.
Yeah, I don't want to see all this mudslinging back and forth, all this negativity.
But guess what? We've got a hotly contested campaign. We're going to see a lot of mud. It's coming, and we're going to be tired of it by the time November rolls around, but you just got to get ready for it. Jeremy Lawrence Show continues, 590 WKZO. -85 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show, as we spend just a wee bit more time together. You know, it's interesting. I don't want to make this a total slam on politicians. I think there's some good ones out there. But you do have to scratch your head and wonder about, all right, what are they thinking? You know, because in the state of Michigan, we face different issues like, I mean, we can all agree, yeah, roads are something we need to look at. Yes, absolutely. The budget, we need to make sure it's balanced. We make sure taxes aren't too high, et cetera, et cetera. We go over issue after issue after issue that we're facing right now in the state of Michigan. I mean, minimum wage, that's something that they're talking about. Okay, I get that. But apparently it can't all be doom and gloom and serious stuff because lawmakers have decided that in the state of Michigan, we don't have a state amphibian. Yeah, you heard that right. We don't have a state frog, basically. You know, I mean, you know, you get the state flower and the state, you know, bird and, okay, all right, I get that. It's
state rock.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, you know. Yeah, I get that. Massachusetts was an easy choice for state rock. But yeah. Beyond that, you know, everybody else had a rough time. But in this case, they're going to have a rough time because there's a couple of bills that were introduced that said there needs to be an official frog or amphibian or whatever it is. And I find it interesting because, well, here's one side. Sam Singh came up with a bill that said the Northern Spring Peeper. Boy, now there's an interesting name for an animal. That needs to be the state's official amphibian. Matt Lorry introduced a bill last month that said Blanchard's cricket frog needs to be the official state amphibian. Now, I have a theory on this, and most people are going, I thought you might. Yes, I have a theory on what we need to do. I think we could all agree on this. I think this is where the parties come together. This is where we can agree that, you know what, we should just do this for the official amphibian of the state of Michigan. We should do this very thing. We'd all agree, Republicans, Democrats together could come together and agree on this one. I think this is the choice, and I'm going to give you a little sample of what my choice would be.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss, my wife.
Yes.
Baby, my heart's on fire.
Our choice should be Michigan J. Frog right there. I mean, don't give me a peeper or anything like that. You know, I mean, let's go with something fun. You know, he's already named Michigan, so why not? There, my vote for the official state amphibian. And you know, that's something you could pass. I mean, you wouldn't even need to put together much of a bill on this one. You know what? There you go. There's your bill. We'll put this together. The official state amphibian is Michigan J. Frog. I'm all for that one. But you got to wonder, all right, you know, we're doing all this stuff. We need to talk about roads. We need to talk about, you know, we need to talk about minimum wage. We need to talk about this and that. No, what we need to do is focus on an official amphibian for the state of Michigan. This is the thing that makes you scratch your head. You know, we had the topic yesterday. We talked about this, the idea that people wonder about their government and they wonder about, you know, whether or not we should trust government. Here you go.
Yeah.
Put together a bill that, all right, here's your state frog.
Could you imagine them actually fighting over this? No, we're having that frog, not that one.
I mean, the debate would just be so underwhelming.
It would be comical, I think.
So I'm telling you, that's my move for it. Instead of picking the, what did they call this? The Northern Spring Peeper or the Cricket Frog, Michigan J. Frog would be my choice.
Submit it to them. Maybe they'll go with it.
You know, we've got enough representatives and state senators that listen to this program. I think, you know what, if they've introduced this, somebody ought to, as a joke, put together a bill that's got Michigan J. Frog as the official amphibian, just to point out how ridiculous this is.
Yes.
Because it's ridiculous with all the problems we face, with joblessness and this and that and the other, that these people think we need a state frog.
Now we need a state lizard or reptile, it would be.
There you go.
State reptile.
I move for the T-Rex on that one, personally. I think that's important. But, you know, we'll do that. We'll do the official state marsupial. You know, we don't have many of them here, but, you know, we need one.
What about the official state bridge? I mean, we could all agree on that, but you never know. We might need a bill saying it.
I don't know. There would be some people from Detroit that argue about
that.
Oh,
that's
so,
true.
Yeah, you know. Oh, well, that's got to do it for us today. You know, a baseball tomorrow. We'll join you at some point tomorrow, and some great stuff ahead. So make sure you keep it here.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.